You're listening to Digging the Dirt, the allotment show with Russ and Jake. And welcome to the show. I'm Russ up in Lancashire and Jake is with us in Derbyshire. Are you there, Jake?
It's great to be back, Russ. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Now, today, Jake, we've got a kind of a squash and a pumpkin show today. What do you think about that?
Brilliant, a harvest festival.
It is. Now, coming up, we've got a great interview with Colin McCauley. He'll be talking about growing giant pumpkins on his allotment.
Wow.
On the Wirral. Yeah. I think he's very close to New Brighton, beautiful place there on the Wirral.
That sounds brilliant.
So we'll be talking to Colin just a little bit later in the show. I hope you've got your gum shield with you, because Colin is an expert... He's an ex-professional boxer, Jake. So we've got to watch our step here.
Goodness me.
So we'll be talking to Colin just a little bit later in the show. But what have you been up to over the last couple of weeks, Jake?
Well, a lot of it's harvest times. It's been a big time for harvest, hasn't it?
It has.
The autumn raspberries are in full flow.
Yes.
The tomatoes are... most of them have done brilliantly. I had to remove a few that got slightly blighted, but managed to save the rest of them.
Oh, right.
Looks like it started on the butternut squash.
Yes.
Pumpkins and winter squash are coming on really well.
Great.
And brassicas, all sorts of things to harvest this time of year. It's so exciting this time of year.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it sort of all comes together, doesn't it, now? That change in the... And a little bit nice and clear, a little bit chilly in the mornings as well. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely bit of moisture in the air, so things that have got a bit dry over the summer, particularly people's lawns, will now come back and they'll bounce back to life.
Oh, of course they will. Of course they will. So a busy old harvesting time, then.
Very busy, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar, really. The last of the cucumbers we've harvested just a week or so ago. Now, a few tomatoes left, so they might just ripen. Not many left, but a few left there to ripen. Yeah. Plenty of chilies still coming as well in the greenhouse.
Oh, fantastic.
That's good. And brassicas, of course, doing well. And I think I told you, we discovered... early in the summer, about homemade pesto. So I've got about 20-odd basil plants there. I just potted on just the other weekend.
Brilliant.
So, and they're doing really well. So we'll keep those going. And actually, apples.
Basil's wonderful.
Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. And homemade pesto, blimey. I don't know what I've been doing all these years. Yeah, Sharon knocks that up a treat. It's absolutely amazing.
Well done, Sharon.
Yeah,
fantastic.
She's great. And I was saying apples and pears have been phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Super.
This year. So have you got fruit trees on your allotment?
I have, but very heavy crops last year.
Yes.
But for some reason this year, I've only had half a dozen apples altogether. I don't know whether it was frost at the time of blossom.
Right.
Or
gosh.
The pollinator's not out. Or it could be. Sometimes fruit trees have a year off if you don't thin them out, and
of course,
maybe I just didn't thin them out enough.
Yes, yeah. Oh, that's a shame. No, they've done phenomenally well this year. Plenty there. They're going to keep us going for ages. So that's incredible. And I've got to tell you, actually, Jake, we were talking about melons last time.
Yeah.
And and I told you the first time I'd grown them, I was given three plants by a neighbour on the allotment. So I wouldn't normally have kind of grown them. And they did, for the first time, not too bad. I had seven melons, a reasonable size melons.
Brilliant.
There. And if you remember, I asked you, when do I harvest them? And what did you say? Smell them.
As soon as they smell.
Yeah, that's right. But I also remembered that they very quickly go over as well, you were saying. So, of course, the first one, I was a bit too ambitious, a bit too eager, and I thought I could smell that it was ripe, but obviously I was too early.
Right.
I mean, it tasted great. It wasn't the problem. Mm-hmm. But literally a week later, when I opened up the greenhouse, the smell was just phenomenal.
Oh, it's divine, isn't it?
And I suddenly thought, that is the smell that Jake was talking about. So I'll know next time. So I had six absolutely perfect melons there. But it's just that smell of the ripe melon. Oh, you were totally, totally right there. Absolutely right. So
it's quite a head sweet smell. It's
it
wonderful.
Is. Yeah, yeah. And I was saying to Sharon and Matthew, just smell that. They thought I'd gone bonkers there, but it was phenomenal, phenomenal. So that's another one for. I've saved a load of seeds actually. So I presume you can do that, and they'll turn out all right next year. I don't know, but
unless they're an F1 variety,
right? Now I don't know. You see, because the plants were given to me, but it's worth giving a go, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's about time we invited our guest, Colin McCauley, onto the show. Are you there, Colin?
Yeah, hi, Russ.
Hi, mate.
Are you all right?
Yeah, thanks very much, Tom.
Absolute pleasure. I've been waiting for our interview with you for quite a while now. And, of course, it's coming up to pumpkin season and squash season as well, isn't it?
We'll be harvesting before we know it.
We will, absolutely. Just tell us where you're... allotment is to start off with.
Yeah, it's on a place called Love Lane Allotments. It was actually a present from my wife Vicky on our wedding day. She sort of announced to me at the top table that she'd put my name down for allotments. Although there's about 30 of them on the Wirral,
yes,
she chose Love Lane because of the name of it. And we got married
fantastic.
on Valentine's Day, so it was all lovely, you know.
Really? I mean,
yeah,
yes.
And the aim of it was to sort of bring in some fresh fruit and veg for our children now, with Amy and Molly.
Yes.
But before then, we thought, you know, we were going to aim to have some children, and the aim is to get some fresh fruit and veg so we could sort of bring them up, you know, as organically as possible.
Fantastic. And were you a gardener before that, or was that just a total surprise to you?
I'd failed in doing the basics with a houseplant many times, to be honest. And I've never really touched it before then.
No.
When she took me down, I was a bit nervous about how I thought there'd be a lot of pressure on us. But I talked to her like no one's business. I loved it, you know.
Excellent.
I loved everything about it.
So did you get married?
The soil.
Did you get married on Valentine's Day? Did you say?
Yeah, I got married on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Blimey.
2009.
And your allotment's in Love Lane.
Yeah, Love Lane allotments.
You're a real romantic.
Yeah.
Aren't you? Or is that your wife?
Yeah, probably a bit of both, really.
Is it? Good Brilliant. For you. Good for you.
Yeah.
So, and Love Lane Allotments, we have to tell the listeners that is fairly close to New Brighton, isn't it?
It is. We get all the River Mersey, all the earth, River Mersey, and the winds and everything. So we get a bit of a time, really, down the allotments. Sometimes we get like a polytunnel, small polytunnel.
Yes.
Or fly up in the air, or if you've got anything plastic, you've got to get it really tanned down, you know, otherwise you'll lose it.
Now, you've mentioned...
You didn't see mine blowing over there, did you?
I probably did the other day, yeah.
Jake, I didn't like to mention polytunnels. Really. But if you ever see one, Colin, flying over the Wirral, it's probably Jake's from Derbyshire.
Jake's, yeah, brilliant.
It's still up there somewhere. It's like one of these satellites.
Yeah, if you get around this, won't it? Yeah.
It will. Circling the earth. So how long ago have you been on your allotment now, Colin?
We've been there for 11 years.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. We got there before we first born, Molly. We've sort of... We were down there a few times. You've got to maintain it, haven't you?
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're down there a few times a week and making sure it's all sort of as weed-free as possible. I mean, that's a task in itself, isn't it?
It is.
Getting rid of the weeds and everything.
Yeah. And Jake, I've just been reading your Facebook page a bit earlier. You've got trouble with weeds, haven't you, this year?
Oh, yeah. Daft enough to use horse manure.
Oh, nightmare.
So
yeah, we've got this maize tail on our allotment.
Oh, yeah.
That's difficult, isn't it?
It goes right the way around. That huge grass as well. That's the other one.
Very hard to get rid of, isn't it, maize tail?
Yeah, I don't know what. Do with it. You just keep on digging up. It just comes up the next day. The same comes up even bigger, you know.
Just got to keep at it. So what else do you grow then? We get on to the pumpkins in a moment, but what else do you grow on your allotment there, Colin?
Well, what we decided when we first got the allotments was to grow things that you can't really buy in the shops.
Right.
So, for example, we've got a love apple tree. Love apple tree. They're like small red apples, but when you break them in half, there's hearts. a pink heart shape in the middle.
Really?
Oh, that's lovely.
And a dessert apple, and they're absolutely fantastic, they are.
Fantastic.
And we also grow elephant garlic and pumpkins. But the elephant garlic is the other one I grow in abundance. Although, funny story, I was doing really well with the elephant garlic for a few years. It was coming up, it looked like leeks, it was like proud, it was really big, I was made up. So one year, I planted 500 cloves of garlic, obviously to 500 of this elephant garlic.
Wow.
And they all come up, all of them come up, the 500 of them. And when I pull them up, they all had white rot.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I was nearly crying. I've had a few accidents in my time. I've had two big ones, one this year and one about 4 years with the white rot.
Gosh. And what did you do about that?
Because
there was something I was watching on, I'll tell you what it was. It was on Gardener's World last week.
Yeah.
And Fish from Marillion was on. Did you see that, Jake?
Yeah, oh, I did. Lovely. It was awesome.
And he was harvesting some onions, wasn't it? And that had... was that onion rot he had there?
That was white rot.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And what did he say about that? Once it's in the ground, it's years and years, isn't it, to get rid of it?
I think he said 15 years.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought it was 7 years. Because what I've done with ours, the ground where it is about 40 foot by about 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I've done is I've put like a little children's playground on it for the children.
Oh, good idea.
So I can't use that space for anything else. So I've just used it for with some, wood chippings and things like that, and a little play kitchen and things.
That's a great idea.
And I'm just waiting now, just waiting time to go by to use it again.
Yeah, blimey. 7 years. I'm sure that Fish said 15, you know.
No, we could be right. I could have it wrong, but, yeah. You know, 15 years is a long time to wait, isn't it?
It is. It is. Right. Okay.
Mind you, he's a brilliant lyric writer, but maybe he doesn't know his gardening that well. So,
well,
I hope not.
I'll let you tell him that, Jake. He's a big bloke, is Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's bigger than me.
He's a big lad, yeah.
He is. Right then, Colin, let's get on to the theme of today's show. We're talking squashes and pumpkins. And you are the giant pumpkin man of the... of the Wirral, of course. So let us know, what's the secret of growing these giant pumpkins? How do you do it? Where do you get your seeds from? When do you start? Just tell us all about them.
The main thing is all about the seed, really, and about special ones called Silver Bullets. And they're quite bigger than the ones you get in the packs in the shops.
Yep.
They're probably about three times as big. And I just sort of, like, do everything. I don't grow any pumpkins apart from me. For size-wise, apart from these, they're sort of used for size.
Right.
All the other pumpkins that I use, from the ones you get in the magazines and things, I just use them for the children to play with, that sort of thing, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Yep. So, special seeds, and Silver Bullet is your...
Special seeds.
Preferred kind of variety.
Definitely. And around this time of year, I'm going to dig a hole, and I'll fill this hole about 2 or 3 foot deep, but about 3 foot wide. With all sorts of really finely chopped vegetables and little bits of what's it called, chicken manure and some seaweed and some horse manure, and I mix it all up like a big soup, or you know, like a big stew.
Okay.
And then I put some black fabric over it.
Yep.
And then some straw on top of that, and I'll just wait then for 6 months.
So you're composting all that. Yep.
Yeah, that's giving it the bed that. So when it comes to the summer, you've done your preparation just in time for it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when the hardest part a lot of the time is when you actually get the seeds, what to do with them.
Yes.
You've got to sort of sow them at the right time. I sowed mine on April the 1st this year.
Yeah.
On hindsight, because of lockdown, I thought I'll do it a bit early because I was only going to grow them in the back of the garden.
Yep.
Not down the allotment. Yeah. So I would have done maybe the 1st of May might have been a better date for them. When about June comes, they're massive. These plants are really big. They're about 3 foot long, you know.
Really?
Wow. And when you try and transfer them from one place to the other,
yes.
As I found when I did it, they snap.
Ah. Oh, no.
You know, honestly. And I mean, it's a bit like the elephant garlic with the 500 in the white rot.
Yes.
I mean, that was heartbreaking. It really, I'm sure you've had... things that didn't go very well yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It just does your head, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Colin. Is that what happened this year? You snapped.
That's what happened this year. Yeah.
Was it?
I had three silver bullet seeds.
Yeah.
Two of them rotted because of the compost I put wasn't the right compost.
Right.
It was like schoolboy error. I couldn't believe I'd done it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was thinking. I potted them in potting up compost, and it's wet all the way through, you know.
Yes.
Did they rot away? They rotted, and the one that didn't rot grew to about maybe going on to, but it was very high. So when we tried to transfer it, me and my wife Vic, we were sort of like balancing it, and we got it to the hole which had made inside the garden.
Yeah.
And as I laid it down, fell and snapped. Oh no! It was a nightmare.
Oh, crikey!
Yeah.
So it was unrecoverable then.
No, I mean, I clutched at straws, to be honest.
Yeah.
I put some sellotape on it.
Oh, God.
I kept on looking at it to see if that would make a difference, you know.
Yeah.
Did all these things, but there's no chance.
That's heartbreaking.
It is, isn't it? After all that effort. Yeah.
But as you know, it's a learning game, isn't it? You know, every year you have your mishaps and you sort of learn from them all the time.
It is. Yeah. But this year, you know, it was hard compost, wasn't it? You know, during lockdown.
It was. We had to order it in.
Yes.
From the nurseries around the corner.
Yes.
And there wasn't much of it.
No.
So no. I stuck with the stuff that I had, which was potting compost.
Yeah.
Looking back, I should have maybe took a trip down the allotments, but I didn't like to go down because of a big metal gate.
Yes.
And with thoughts of coronavirus, you know, on services.
Yes.
I didn't want to take the risk.
Well, Colin, there's always next year, isn't there? That's what we always say.
Always next year. I was gutted for about 6 hours. hours. But then it went.
Yeah, gosh. Now, these seeds that we're talking about, your silver bullet seeds, they've got to be a bit more expensive than your normal pumpkin seeds, I'm thinking.
They are. I mean, the silver bullet that I get are £10 each, £10.
Yeah.
There are seeds out there for £25.
Really?
Yeah. I think... Really, I need to sort of like up my game a bit and get a few of them.
Yes.
Well, you don't want to be snapping them at that time, do you?
You don't. Take your time. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Just take your time. So we've got our seeds. We've got our silver bullets. You've talked about how you start them off. So you started them off April the 1st, you said, this year.
Yeah. But I'd go for May normally.
Yeah.
Probably May's better.
A little bit later. But 6 months prior to that, you prepare all the ground on your allotment or in your garden.
Try and get as weed-free as possible and put some blacker lining to the ground where it's going to grow. So that just heats up the ground, you see.
Ah, yes, I've got... Okay, and then when they're ready, transfer them out?
Yeah, and then mollycoddle them, you know. I sort of get... I make a dilute with organic seafood liquid.
Yes.
With water, and I spray the leaves... I wipe them down with a little cloth. I give it some special formula which I make.
Okay, is that your secret formula?
My secret formula. I always make a big batch of that, and so I'll put this on once.
Yeah.
And then rest of the time I'll just do some of the blue stuff that you get from, you know, Halfords or anywhere like that.
So what's the biggest pumpkin you've grown then over the years, Colin?
4 years ago, I had two massive ones. I got one for £136 in weight, and one was £118 in weight. But they look similar sizes. Look, I've got my daughter Amy. I've got a picture of her with a hand on each pumpkin. Looks like she's stroking two lions, you know.
Oh, brilliant. Gosh! Hey, I tell you what, Colin. That's that. If you've got any photos of them, post them up on Jake's Facebook page. We'll give you the address later. Because people would love to see that. That would be terrific.
Yeah. Oh, I did have one question for you, Colin, if that's all right.
Of course it's okay.
I was wondering how many fruit you tend to leave on each one.
Right, okay. Well, the normal seeds, which are my...
Yeah.
Jack-o'-lantern, something like this.
Yeah.
I'll leave as many that grows on the vine.
Right.
Say there's four or five pumpkins, I'll leave them to grow because I'm not expecting too much of them. But with the silver bullets, which from Holland, the big seeds, I'll just leave one pumpkin on the vine.
Right.
Yeah, and then the rest of them, as soon as I see another pumpkin, you know, starts to grow, I'll just take it off straight away.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you're always running the risk then because you haven't got a backup. I mean, I have heard people just taking two, growing two on the vine and having a backup. Right. But I've always just done it with one.
So does that focus the energy into that particular fruit rather than spreading it?
Yeah, that's exactly what Jake. It makes sure that all the mollycoddle that you're doing with this pumpkin goes into the one fruit. Brilliant. Rather than divide it between two mouths, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it possible to save the seed from them?
Yeah, definitely. There's a bloke next door to me, Paul. He's absolutely amazing. He can do tomato seeds or anything.
Right.
I mean, and they're a bit of a specialty. But pumpkin seeds, really, what you've got to do with them is scrape them all out, water them, get all the slush off them, all the orange slush off them, yeah?
Yeah.
And put them between two tea towels and make them as dry as possible. And then put them on top of the cupboard for a week.
Uh-huh.
And that'll dry them out. And after they dry the small bit, leave them out again for maybe another week. And then they should be like bone dry then to store away.
Yeah. And would you use them just the following year or do they last for more than a year?
No, some of the seeds that you buy in the shop, a few years.
Yeah.
Any seeds that I've ever used, that I've grown myself, I've retaken off the pumpkin. I've just used for the one year. I've done
it. Yeah.
And then it's like it's his uncle or it's his granny, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That was that, you know, that this pumpkin seed come from that pumpkin.
Yeah.
So it's like having a little family of pumpkins and things.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Family tree of pumpkins, Colin.
Definitely, like a little family tree, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you do that with the silver bullet seeds.
Yes,
pumpkins.
And definitely the normal seeds.
Yeah, yeah. And do you find that following year then, when you use those, that your pumpkins are as big, or are you best buying, you know, from the supplier every year?
No, to be perfectly be honest with you, they didn't work at all.
Did they not?
They didn't work at all. I've done it once with them.
Yeah.
We had the pumpkin outside for Halloween. And then when it started to rot down, we took them off and did it all. Then the following year, it just didn't take. And it was a shame because that year, I didn't order my pumpkins in, my seeds from Holland, because I thought I had a load of seeds.
Yes.
So by takes maybe about almost 2 months to get the seeds from Holland. I don't know why, I just take. So the season was running out of time, if you know what I mean. So what I'd say to anyone listening is always buy seeds from a supplier that you know and you trust, you know.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I think that goes for everything, doesn't it? Really, good reputable supplier.
Yeah, you've got to. You can't scrimp on it. Otherwise, you're just going to waste your time, aren't
you? Yes, yeah. And these days, you've got to watch where you get your plants and any seeds from, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I'd say.
How do you measure them then, Cole? How do you get the weight? You know, you can't lift a 136-pound pumpkin.
Russ, I've got a cracking little method that I use.
Go on.
It's called OTT.
Yeah.
It's called over the top, yeah?
Yeah.
And what you do is you get a normal, like, sewing tape measure and you get the pumpkin, but you leave, obviously, it's on the pumpkin's on the vine still.
Yep.
It's still growing when I'm doing that. So I've got to be careful, put my hands between the vines and things like that.
Yes, yeah.
And I measure it right down its belly, right round the belly of the pumpkin, okay? Yep. And then I jot them inches down. Say it was like 60 inches. I put that down 60. And then I'll put the top of the tape measure to the stalk where the actual, it's getting watered, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'll go from there to the bottom of the pumpkin and I'll do that both sides.
Yep.
And then three numbers go into a chart called the OTT chart, over the top chart.
Yeah.
And you get this on any, if you look on Google, OTT chart, pumpkins, it'll come up straight away.
Right.
And so all you do is go along what your measurements are. Say it was 180.
Yeah.
You go along 180 and it'll say 59 pounds.
And it's pretty accurate.
I've measured it the OTT way. And then I've managed to get it onto actual scales.
Yeah.
And there's about, there's no more than £2 in it, to be honest.
Really?
No more than £2.
Wow.
That's brilliant.
It is, isn't it?
It's astonishing, isn't it?
It is.
Just when you think from a tape measure in a field with a pumpkin, you can get its actual weight.
Yeah.
It's like magic, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
There's something going on there. Wow. That's really good. And tell me, what when you grow these giant pumpkins, what on earth do you do with them afterwards? Do you show them? Do you display them? What do you do with them?
Yeah, I mean, my daughters, Amy and Molly, they get a load of pictures with them, sitting on them, standing on them, that sort of thing. They get a load of pictures with them.
Yeah.
And then we leave them outside for Halloween, so we can decorate them a little bit, you know, with some white silly string or something.
Yeah.
And then around that same time of year, at our allotment, we have a competition, a pumpkin competition. So yes. And that's just for bragging rights, really. So yeah. You can get the best pumpkin on the plot.
Excellent. So you've won that a few times, I bet.
Yeah, I've won it once. Yeah, come second once.
Good man.
Nice one.
That's good.
Yeah, it's made up. My daughter, she won it once as well.
Oh, fantastic!
Which is absolutely astonishing because she was only 8, and she looked after this pumpkin herself from seed. And she did really well with it, and she actually won it.
Really?
It was a bit gutting because it beat mine as well.
I don't know. These children's competitions, Jake.
Yeah.
There's a little story in there, but I daren't tell it. I daren't tell it. Or shall I, Jake? Or shall I?
Oh, go on.
Shall
go
I?
On.
Right, Collie, you don't know about this. I normally go to me local flower show, okay, and of course this year it was off, you know, like every flower show I guess in the country, so they did a virtual one, and so I was looking down the whole list there of what you can enter for, and you know, your runner beans and your tomatoes and this, that and the other, but nothing was quite ready to enter, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yeah.
And then on the list I saw floating flower petals in a bowl, okay? So my garden is full of flowers, and on the allotment as well. So I thought, I'm going to do that. So I spent all morning doing my presentation, and you take a photograph, right? And you submit, I think two you could submit. So I did all this, dead proud, and then had the email that second prize, I think, or third prize, something like that, I can't remember now. And I was dead laid up, told everybody, you know. And then I had an email from the organisers saying they want to do some press, you know, photographs in the local paper.
No way.
Yeah. And they'd like some pictures. And it said, would you ask your mum and dad if you can submit a picture? And I thought, what? And I thought, mum and dad?
Oh,
right. And then I looked more closely at the email. It was the children's gardening competition I'd entered for. So,
I love what your son said.
So, I of course, had to tell you what I was thinking.
Of course, it reminded me of something then, you know.
What's that?
A few years ago, I was upstairs, and in my pocket I found a £10 note.
Yeah.
And I was made up, and I said to my wife and the kids, "Well, I listened and told us what they wanted."
Yeah.
I got in the shop, put my hand in my pocket. The £10 note that I found was a kid's £10 note.
Oh, was it? Oh, blimey. It must run in the jeans, Colin. Must run in the jeans.
Yeah.
So I had to tell these organisers, you know, I read it wrong, and I grovelled and apologised. And I've never heard of it from them since. I didn't go there next year, I tell you that now. But, of course, I was telling me Matthew, my son Matthew, about it. And I said, well, I got second or third prize. I think third prize it was or something. And he said, yeah, but Dad, he said, you were beaten by two kids. So, that's
what, brilliant.
That wiped my eye a little bit.
And very good.
I thought they might send me a certificate, but I never got one.
That's cruel.
There's always next year, isn't there, as we say?
Always next year. Yeah.
Absolutely. And head to next year.
And Colin, I hope you don't mind me saying, we can't go without mentioning that you, of course, were a professional boxer.
Yeah, of course I was, yeah.
Yeah, and of course you don't think it goes together, does it? That, you know, gardening and boxing.
They're miles apart, aren't they?
That they are. Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you, really? And you boxed Ricky Hatton, of course, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. His first professional fight, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? And you live to tell the tale.
Yeah, that was some night. A bit of a painful night, but it was a bit of an experience, you know.
I bet it was. I bet it was. So you've gone from that to pricking out seedlings and goodness knows what.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
With all the soft stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Colin, we're running out of time. It's been fantastic.
Okay.
Fantastic to talk to you. You know, I think we're going to be talking to you again to see what how you get on next year. Let's hope it's a good year, eh?
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks very much, Russ. Thanks very much, Jake.
Thanks ever so much, mate. That's been absolutely brilliant.
No problem. Great to have you on the show.
Okay, take care, fellas. Bye now.
Bye. You take care. Well, what a great interview there with Colin. What do you think of that, Jake?
Oh, that was brilliant. He's a real inspiration and such a brilliant sense of humour and so knowledgeable about his subject as well. That was fantastic.
You know, when I was talking to Colin before, he was saying he does research things. Really, and you can tell, can't you, really?
Oh, you can, yeah. He's very, very knowledgeable. That's superb.
Great lad, great lad. So do you think you will try giant pumpkins, silver bullets, Jake?
I suppose at some point I could give them a try, but I tend to grow fruit and veg that's more the size for two of us to eat.
It is, yeah, yeah. Because you don't eat those kind of show veg, do you? The giant pumpkin, certainly. The taste isn't right,
yeah,
is it?
They don't tend to.
No.
I did grow some very big pumpkins for me, actually, about sort of beach ball sized a few years ago.
Really?
And we found that once we cut into them,
yes,
before we got a quarter of the way through them, they were starting to rot.
Right.
I tend to grow smaller ones.
And you know, saying that, Jake, I seem to remember a picture of you with a pumpkin on your head. Is that right?
Yeah, doing my impression of a genie coming out of a lamp.
That's right. Yeah, it did look like that. It did look like that. So, now we said this is a squash and a pumpkin show. So, we've talked about pumpkins or giant pumpkins. So, squash then, Jake. It's not something I really grow, so you've got to convince me here that it's something I need to get into.
Well, we absolutely love squash. We use it for roasting. We use it in soups. We use it in butternut squash. I use as a mash. I'm 50-50 with potato, and that makes a lovely... It's a bit like sweet potato mash. It's very, very nice.
Really? Ah, I love sweet potatoes, actually.
And some of the summer squash are really nice to slice and cook on the barbecue.
Yes, yeah. Well, how do you... Take us through, like Colin did then, all the stages in preparing and up to harvesting your squash. Just take us through that.
A lot of it's very similar, but obviously he's very specialist and a very intense amount of work goes into getting his wonderful giant pumpkins.
But
about sort of late April, I put one seed into per pot, three-inch pots, keep them warm, probably around about 20 degrees, so indoors until they get really quite established, decent-sized plants with proper true leaves.
Yep.
And then early May time, I'll start to harden them off in a cold greenhouse or a cold frame.
Yes.
And then get them ready to plant out at the end of May, early June, because they are very, very tender plants.
Yes. Yeah.
If it goes below about 5 degrees, then it'll kill them.
Really? Yes.
So you need to be sure that they're going to be safe. Ground preparation wise, I put a thick mulch on the ground and I put weed suppressant matting down and I burn holes into it.
Okay.
And I do reuse the weed suppressant matting each year. So I'm, even though it's plastic,
yes,
I'm not wasting the plastic.
Yeah.
And I plant through that because, as Colin was saying, you don't want any competition with the roots because they're very greedy plants. They need as much water as you can give them when it's hot.
Yes.
I tend to grow 2 to 3 squash per plant.
Okay.
And then I'll maybe stop the plants after that so they can focus on the fruit that's there.
So you get reasonable size ones instead of a load of smaller plants.
Absolutely, yeah. Again, just the butternut squash this year have all been between about a foot and 18 inches long. So you wait until the leaves start looking like they're dying off.
Yeah.
I have heard people say before that you can test if they're ready by sticking your nail into the skin, and if your thumbnail doesn't make a dent, then it's completely ready.
Okay.
But
Yeah.
If the leaves have died, you can harvest them. You leave about an inch of stem on.
Yes, so it doesn't rot back, is that something?
That's exactly yeah. spot on there.
Yeah.
So and if you put them on like a sunny windowsill, they'll harden off. And once they hardened off, if you save them in a garage or a shed frost free,
yeah.
they'll last you all winter.
So you just help yourselves through the winter months and away to go.
Absolutely. I just think they're a delicious and very versatile kind of vegetable.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's something I've never really grown, you know. So
right.
I think you might convince me there. I might have a little go at that next year. Something. I try and do something different each year. So
yeah,
I might do that. You have to give us some tips on a good first time kind of variety to grow. And I'll give it a whirl, yeah. I think.
So a lot of people do avoid them because they take a lot of ground space.
I believe
like
so.
You
yeah.
plant them about 3 foot apart.
Yes.
But you can grow them up supports.
Ah,
so
right.
a bit
okay.
like melons, you
yes.
can support the melons with tights or
yes.
old bras or anything you want.
Yes. Yeah. Sharon and, wouldn't let me, you know that, don't you? She was having none of that.
So as long as it doesn't snap off the vine, you can grow them vertically and that saves a bit of space.
Yes, yeah. But otherwise, making sure they got plenty of room there.
Absolutely, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, and keeping them off the ground so they don't rot. What's the secret
yeah,
for that?
Yeah,
then?
It does help. Being on the matting, that tends to help a bit.
Yeah.
But once they do start maturing, sometimes I'll put them on an old... piece of wood or something like that,
yes.
just so they're not touching the ground.
Yes.
And
yep.
some people use straw, a bit like strawberries.
Ah, right, of course. Yeah, yeah. Excellent. And what's your crop been like this year then?
Brilliant. Been a really, really good year this year.
Great.
I must have got maybe about 30 crown prints that are about the size of a football. Probably had at least 10, maybe even 15 butternut squash, a really good size. It's been a really good year for them this year.
Terrific.
Whereas like root crops tend to have struggled for me
yes.
this year because there's been too much rain.
It has, isn't it? Yes, yeah. And especially the last couple of weeks up here, up in Lancashire. Blimey,
yeah.
it's got pretty a lot noticeably a lot cooler now, as I said, you know, overnight.
Yeah.
And but a lot of rain, which won't do them much good, really.
No, not at all. They need to... They need to be digging down to get the moisture, don't they?
They
to
do.
Make big roots.
Okay, so I think I'm going to give those a try next year, Jake. You remind me.
Oh, give it a go.
About Absolutely. March time.
I will remind you.
yeah, we'll do that. And who knows, I might have a go at a giant pumpkin and see if I can give Colin a run for his money there.
Yeah, I think I might try one. Absolutely.
We should do. Digging
yeah.
the dirt competition. Nothing like a competition, Jake.
Oh, exactly. People could send in their photographs and we could mention the names of the best ones and
of course
credit
we could.
People for great growing.
Yeah, yeah. And lots of photographs of pumpkins balancing on your head as well.
yeah.
That's what we need.
You feel free to post any pictures you want on Gardening Tips from the Village Idiot.
Absolutely. And actually, while you're talking about that, you had a great film of your allotment, didn't you, from the air, from a drone.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. My son-in-law, he's my son-in-law now because he married my daughter last week. He brought his drone over. They bought a drone because they've just bought a 10-acre farm about 2 hours south of Barcelona, and some of the land's really overgrown.
Yes.
So he bought a drone so they could film and look at all the land.
And just
from
survey
above.
It, really. Wow, great.
Absolutely, yeah. It was brilliant seeing the allotment plots from a bird's eye view.
It is. It was amazing, really, wasn't it? And a good size plot, isn't it, Jake, when you can see that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. And congratulations on the wedding as well. I bet that was a great affair. Maybe a bit smaller than was planned.
Yeah, the numbers were very restricted because of the current situation. But
yes.
They had a lovely day and I was... very proud of both of them. They were wonderful, and she looked brilliant in her dress.
Well, give them both our love anyway. So that
certainly will.
That's great. And at least it went ahead. That's the thing. There's been so many weddings cancelled, isn't there, really?
Exactly. Up until the last minute, we still didn't know if everything was going to happen, but thankfully it did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I bet you can't wait to get over to this 10-acre plot in Spain then at some point.
Absolutely. I want to fill the boot of my car with tools and get over there and get my hands in the soil.
Gosh, let's hope that you can do that next year. That'll be amazing.
Absolutely, and because I find it quite fascinating as well, the different growing seasons that they have over there. Absolutely. Like things like tomatoes, they can grow all year.
Well, they do. You know, in my work in the food industry, I work with a lot of salad growers and salad packers.
Yeah.
And of course, when the season's gone here, where do they get them from? You know, for the supermarket shelves. They're from Spain, mostly.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And massive... long season there for all sorts of things, really. Oh, terrific. That's something to look forward to then, to next year.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Right then, Jake, we'll have our usual sort of roundup of what's on the TV coming up. And it's kind of winding down a little bit, isn't it, really?
Yeah, quite sad.
It is. Yeah, it's sad to say Beech Grove. It's the last edition has just gone on Sunday, with the repeat on Sunday, so that's it. But maybe we'll get the little roundups and whatever over the winter months. You don't know, so no more.
Absolutely,
no more Beech Grove. But again, it's something to look forward to next year. Gardener's World still on for a little while longer, I think.
Yeah, I love the way at the moment. Every few weeks we get to see Adam's garden as well, because his garden's coming along brilliantly, isn't it?
It is, and you know what? I like him as a presenter. Yeah. He's just dead relaxed, isn't he?
Oh,
dead
he is.
Relaxed. And he's got a great style.
He learned from Geoffrey Hamilton, so he's going to be brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do enjoy it when he's presenting the show. It's one of those glass of red wine and just chill out.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant, I think. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
We got Garden Rescue, of course, with Charlie Dimmock, Arit and the Rich Brothers. So that's on BBC One, of course. So I think that's a new series on there. Gardener's Question Time, still on Fridays at 3 p.m. and repeated Sundays at 2. And you've picked up a new program, I think, Jake, you were saying.
It's just finished, but you can get it on catch-up TV. George Clark's during lockdown, he went round National Trust houses and National Trust gardens.
Yeah.
I think it's called George Clark's Secret National Trust, something like that. But you'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
It's Channel 4.
Yeah.
And he visits gardens across the country, and some of them are phenomenal.
Oh, terrific.
Like one of my favourite places in the world he goes to is Cragside, and they have thousands of rhododendrons there.
Really? And whereabouts is that, Jake? Cragside?
It's up in the northeast.
Right.
Quite close to where George Clark comes from.
Ah, I see. Yes. Yeah. Oh, terrific.
I did visit there a couple of years ago because it's a National Trust place. I've been a member for years, and I love going to their gardens.
Yeah, terrific. Yeah, and lots of manned by lots of volunteers as well, of course, aren't they? Most of them.
Oh, they really struggled. Some of them, where normally they have 200 or 300 volunteers, were down to 5 staff.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. During the lockdown and close to my old hometown in Shrewsbury is a lovely National Trust property, Attingham Park, and they've got an amazing walled garden there. So if you're ever around Shrewsbury and Shropshire, a really great and very productive walled garden they've got
Fantastic.
There. That's worth checking out. And of course, all those you can catch up with on the iPlayer and the ITV Hub and Netflix and YouTube and everything else. So even though some of these gardening programs, they're coming to an end, you can still dip in and dip out, can't you, and catch up with them.
And even though the gardening programs are coming to an end, there's a few YouTube things I spotted that people might enjoy.
Oh, great, yeah.
Malcolm, our dear friend Malcolm Kingswell, has put 3 videos up this week that I thought were fantastic.
Oh,
so if people search for Malcolm Kingswell on YouTube, there's an October tour of his garden. There's another one all about what to do with beetroot. And another one about saving seeds. Absolutely brilliant video.
Oh,
so great watching that.
I tell you what, we'll try and get him on the next show then and just do a little roundup of his year. That'll be good.
That'd be fantastic. It's so good, his videos, and so well made.
They are. And for those that haven't heard our previous show with Malcolm. He has an allotment down in South Wales, 1,000 feet above sea level. So pretty harsh conditions, aren't they, up there?
Yeah, it does so well to say how tough it is where he's gardening up on a mountain side.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Jake, I found a garden show that's actually on. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as far as I know at the moment, it is. It's the garden show at Firle Place, and it's on Friday the 16th of Friday the 16th to the 18th of October. That's Firle Place, and that's down in Lewes in East Sussex. So anybody missing their garden shows that's down that part of the world, then, you know, there's an opportunity there. So for details, the website is firle.com/events, or you can go to www.thegardeningshowonline.com, thegardeningshowonline.com, and those websites will tell you all the event details, how to book, all their COVID precautions and requirements as well for the show, and pre-booking, I think, is advised there, like all these things these days. So just check that out. I mean, it's a very fluid situation, isn't it? You don't know what's happening. But at the moment, that's a little gardening show, 16th to the 18th of October, Firle Place. And
that'll be brilliant.
It will, yeah. And the RHS, they've announced their shows for next year. A few fewer shows, I think, because of, all the pandemic and the fallout from all the pandemic and everything else. So they've got the Malvern Spring Festival, 6th to the 9th of May. The Chelsea Flower Show, 18th to the 22nd of May. Hampton Court Garden Festival, 5th to the 11th of July. And Tatton Hall, that's my local show, 21st. To the 25th of July, and I believe tickets will be available soon on the RHS website. So just look out for that. So no Chatsworth, I'm afraid, next year, Jake.
No, but Gardeners World Live is meant to be on 17th to the 20th of June, so I think I'll get myself there.
Yeah, I went to that many years ago. One of the first ones, you know, and that was a great show.
Yeah.
Really, really
Helen
good.
And I have loved it the times that we've been there.
Yes, yeah, it is good, yeah. So we'll have to see whether we can get to one of these and meet up, Jake, at one of these shows. That'll be great. Well, what a show it's been, Jake.
Oh, it's been wonderful.
Great, great show. Thanks for your time. And
you, my friend.
And you. So we'll have another show in about a month's time. So any gardening questions, just give us an email. And that's skywaveradiouk@gmail.com. skywaveradiouk@gmail.com. Or as always, you can post your questions and your photos and anything else on Jake's Facebook page. Tell us all about it, Jake.
Gardening tips from the village idiot.
Okay, Jake. Pleasure to talk to you. As always, happy gardening, mate.
Happy gardening. You take care.
Yeah, all the best. You've been listening to Digging the Dirt, the allotment show with Russ and Jake.